Today on Real Life Radio.
Saying that you know God and having faith in Him are two different things. Make sure that your knowledge of God leads you to faith in Him. Make sure that you say, when you know Him, that you're trusting Him. Don't be acquainted with God and not be His friend or Him be your friend. Don't make that horrific mistake.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Hey, here's a gift idea for the men in your life on Father's Day. Pastor Jack's book of the month is called Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's by R. Kent Hughes, mixing biblical teachings with practical application. Hughes gives men a prescription for righteous living. Carefully organized, the Disciplines of a Godly Man goes through each phase of a man's life on issues like pride, lust, responsibility, and marriage. Christians need a wake-up call right now to spiritual living, and it's men who must take the lead.
We've got to get back to disciplines. That's what's going to keep us stable for what's next. There's going to be something next. And we want to make sure that our feet are grounded, that we're standing on a good foundation, and that we've got some good disciplines in place to take on the next storm.
Disciplines of a Godly Man, it's available right there at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. Order your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the book of Revelation with a message titled, Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 2. In Revelation chapter 14, we'll see that the visions from God are not given to us in chronological order, and this really is an insightful chapter into the glorious events that follow the Great Tribulation period. You see, now as we look into verses 6 and 7, the Apostle John is given a vision from God that will complete the tribulation period. His vision is of a mighty angelic being who will bring the gospel to every people, every tongue, every nation. It's a gospel of grace, not a religious act to be earned, but a relationship with Jesus Christ himself, believing that he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we were created to honor God. That's it. We were created to glorify him. To honor God means to live in a way that points others towards Christ. To glorify God is to give ourselves wholly to Him by what we think, what we say, what we believe, and by what we live for. Now in his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Your life means everything to Him. He's got a plan for your life that was engineered before you were ever born. It's like instructions that are detailed for this little toy or this little game or this model or whatever we would open up out of a box. There's instructions. God has instructions specifically for your life, and you're missing it without Him. And a lot of people talk about self-esteem. I tell you what, I've never been big on self-esteem because it never really worked for me until I understood God's esteem. When I look at God and see Him in all of His glory, that He would love a wretch like me, that puts me over the top of any self-esteem manual or book or 12-step program you could ever read or write. He loves me. What more do you need about your self-esteem that God loves you? The thing is, we don't believe it. We sing about it in church, but we don't believe it out in the world. Another thing is this, God's desire for all mankind to be saved is clear in Scripture. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that we as Christians are to be ambassadors, that we're to go out. And the Bible tells us that we become new creations in Christ by trusting in Him. And that the Bible tells us that He, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness of God through Him by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Then we move out from there and we are to be ambassadors for Christ. Now that we're Christians, we're going to heaven, we should and need to tell others if we really believe this news. You know, right now we have a team up in Sacramento that's been working the streets. They were invited by Metro Calvary up there in Rockland, just south of, I don't know if it's south or it doesn't matter, Sacramento area. And that brand new church, they were getting schooled by our evangelism team to go out on the streets. And I when I was in D.C., I was getting a phone call. it's fantastic. This is what's happening. It's so exciting. People are finding out what the gospel is, and they're telling strangers, and they're seeing strangers say, that's what it is? He loves me? And people are responding, and this brand new church that's just starting out is seeing the power of the Word of God. That's good news. God reaches out, my friend, to everyone in this gospel. It's the everlasting gospel to all, and it means that we need to make a choice. If God is reaching out, you need to take what he's offering. There's nothing worse, parents, you know this, there's nothing worse for a parent's heart to be broken than to have something that you're offering be despised or not appreciated. There's nothing more painful for a parent than for something that you do for a child to be not appreciated. That's what's so wrong about a spoiled child. They could care less about what they have and who's doing it for them. They don't appreciate anything. When God holds out his hand to extend salvation, when he's calling to you, and maybe this morning he's calling to you, it means that man must make a choice. The Bible says in Romans 1:19, because what may be known of God has been manifested to them, that is the world, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that he has made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What does that verse mean? There is not one person on the planet, even if he's lost, wandering around in the jungles of South America, he is not exempt from God reaching him in his heart and in his mind. God is speaking. Yeah, Pastor, going back to that guy that's running around in the jungle with the bone in his nose and never hears the gospel message. What about him? The Bible says in Romans 1, God is reaching him. What about you, sir? What about you, ma'am? Have you made a decision for Christ? You have no excuse to hide behind. The Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts became darkened, and they professed themselves to be wise, and they became fools. I think that ought to be a placard on every school. A little humble us out a little bit before we walk into the school. You can get all kinds of information that doesn't make you wise. You can be a genius when it comes to knowledge. Wisdom is the application of what you know. Be careful. The Bible also tells us here regarding the everlasting gospel that God has given the gospel in totality. My friend, there's not another gospel coming. What do we mean by everlasting gospel? Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9 tells us that God preached the gospel to Abraham. Well, wait a minute, there was no Bible in Abraham's day. That's true, but there was God. Hey, wait a minute. God preached the gospel to Abraham? That's what the Bible says. Yeah, but Moses hadn't even been born yet. There was no law. That's right. Not only that, God told Abraham, because you believe in me, Abraham, I now declare you righteous. Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. This should be no surprise to any of us. When you look at the life of Abraham, and you look at the life of King David, and you look at the life of the prophets of God, the godly prophets of God, you look at these men and women of God, you look at the life of Deborah, all of these people enjoyed a relationship with God that is very, very New Testament born-again relationship with God. Abraham was declared righteous by his faith in God. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says, the just shall live by faith. The law cannot get you into heaven. Keeping rules cannot get you into heaven. The just shall live by faith. Paul the Apostle in the book of Romans echoes that. Paul says in the New Testament, the just, those that have been declared justified by God, live by faith. So how can God tell Abraham, you're going to heaven, Abraham, when there was no New Testament written, no Old Testament written, no books of Moses, no law? Because, my friend, the scripture is very clear concerning the totality of the gospel. It is faith in God. Now listen, believing in God and trusting in him are two different things. Saying that you know God and having faith in him are two different things. Make sure that your knowledge of God leads you to faith in him. Make sure that you say, when you know him, that you're trusting him. Don't be acquainted with God and not be his friend or him be your friend. Don't make that horrific mistake. Concerning the gospel, I'm running out of time. I got to hurry. Somebody might say, is the everlasting gospel then a different gospel? Not at all. Concerning this everlasting gospel, it is the gospel in its totality. I'll give you verses, quickly jot them down. Acts 20, 24 says, it is the gospel of the grace of God. Romans 1, 16 says, it is the gospel of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2, 9 says, it is the gospel of God. Ephesians 6, 14 and 15 says, it is the gospel of peace. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4 says, is the gospel of the glory of Christ. Mark 1, 14 says, it is the gospel of the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 4, 17 says, it's the gospel of God. Romans 15, 19 says, it is the gospel of Christ. And here's Ephesians 1, 13. It is the gospel of your salvation. You see, the everlasting gospel in its totality is the gospel of grace. It is the gospel of salvation. It is the gospel of Christ. It is the gospel of God. There are not many gospels. There's one. All right, listen. There's one. It has always been. How old is it? Everlasting. That means anything that has ever come is false. When were the cults born? They were born on a day by a cult leader. They're false. They offer to you another testament, another gospel. What do you need that for? When God has revealed the everlasting gospel. And that gospel is simply that Jesus Christ came and died for you and I. What are we to do with that, with this everlasting gospel? We're to revere God. Notice here in the scripture, verse 7, it says that the angel came with a loud voice saying, fear God. The word is reverence him. Give him reverence. What else? Give him glory. Why? Because the hour, or for the hour of his judgment has come. That word, that statement means all the injustices and all the wrongs will now be righted. And it goes on to say, worship him who made heaven, earth, and the sea, and the springs of water. We'll end with this. This is cool. The angel with a loud voice. Now, we'll be in heaven at this time. We won't see this from earth's vantage point. I wonder if we'll get to see it from heaven. I don't know. Can you imagine this angel flying? What's he going to look like? We don't know. And please, again, get out of your mind the fat little naked butted cherubim in your bathroom with the wings on it. You know, shooting arrows. It's not that. This angel would freak you out. He's flying through the atmosphere. You would think if I saw that during that period of time, I would fall on my face and worship God. Well, just remember, it's at the end of the tribulation period and horrific demonic activity has come upon the earth. The supernatural has been blatantly upon the earth. Apparently, that's not what's needed to convince a person. This angelic being flies through the midst of heaven with a loud voice, preaching the everlasting gospel. And somehow when he speaks, every tongue, every language of the world will understand him at one time. Just like in the book of Acts, chapter 2. When they began to speak in tongues and all those Elamites and those from Saudi Arabia and those Mesopotamians and all those Cretes and all those from Cappadocia, they all heard them speak the glorious declarations of God in their own language. This angel is going to broadcast somehow, and he's going to say this, give God the glory, worship him. He made heaven and earth, the stars, the sea, everything. Apparently, at the end, that's going to be a very important thing that the world hears. It will be an indictment against an unbelieving world. Fear God who made it all. And I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome. Knowing this verse and coming home in the dark and there are storms beneath us. We're flying above in the darkness. And I'm looking out the window and there are thunder and lightning storms across the Midwest taking place beneath us. And you could see these clouds light up. Just boom, light up. And there's people down there. There's a world living down there. And we were at 39,000 feet up there looking down above the storm, watching it happen. From that vantage point, it looked wonderful. I was safe. There was no threat of the lightning and the thunder coming. We were so high above it. And yet the thought entered my mind, there's people down there hearing that. In this hour of the night, there's maybe moms holding little kids because they're scared. And as we made our way across, the sky began to clear up for just a brief period of time, by the way, and flew over Las Vegas, crystal clear. And it looked absolutely busy. And all of the light, you know, there's a lot of illumination there, but not much light. And I looked down and I thought again, there's people down there. There's homes with pieces of paper. There's homes being lost. People are taking deeds to homes and property. They're pulling money out of their pockets for one last pull, gambling their lives away. Who do you think pays the light bill in that city? All the losers. Losing their life, working hard, then driving and throwing it away. And I said to myself, there's people down there. And then we came in, and it was a miracle. We came in the middle of the night, and it's raining here. And it was bumpy and coming down, and we're in the cloud and the rain. And we broke through, and you could see the wet and shiny streets of the Southland here. And as I got closer and closer and closer, you could see, you could make out the vehicles, and this is a bus, and that's a car. And as you got closer, you could see the personality of things. There's people here. And it was amazing to me. Before we ever leave the personality of our neighbors and friends and family, before we so leave so far and get to a vantage point where we're safe as lightning and storms of the tribulation come upon the earth, before we're ever that safe and that removed, we need to tell this world about the everlasting gospel. Because my friend, this is a great time. God made it all. The heavens, Psalm 19, declares the glory of God. The Bible does not lie. Every astrophysicist, every astronomer knows it is awesome out there. And we cannot explain it. Every scientist, every molecular biologist knows it is awesome inside of you. And we cannot explain it. And they chase themselves around and they try to find an excuse to get God out of the picture. And they know down deep inside they're fighting against God. And they take a submarine, they go as it is to the depths of the sea, the oceans here in verse 7, and they see things that God has created that's only for that environment, a world in total darkness and blackness, and it's working perfectly. And then the streams of waters, the springs of waters. That is an eerie statement here. Hydrokinetic. The vast movements of water in the middle, in the center, in the surface of the earth. Did you know that there's greater rivers, subterranean rivers, greater than the Mississippi flowing, traversing the earth inside of it? Did you know that scientists tell there's more fresh water under the earth than there is above or on the earth? Hey, anybody get a drink of water this morning? Raise your hand. This is the last question. We're all done. Raise your hand. That's it? Anybody drink any coffee this morning? It had water in it. It did? Where did the water come from? The water that's falling from the sky, how old is it? Think about it. Make some ice cubes, pull it out. Oh, I got some fresh ice cubes. We don't know how old those ice cubes are because the water is so incredibly ancient. Since the creation of water by God, he has never, not once, made any new water. It's the same water. The water you drink today, that water's been drunk by who knows what for thousands of years. The water you drink today, look at it closely, because you're going to drink it and it's going to go do its thing. And about, you know, sometime later, someone else is going to drink it. There's no new water. And every hydrologist knows this. Isn't God awesome? If this God did this, he made you. And the Bible says that before he ever put us together, in that embryonic moment, conception, fertilization, the Bible says, I was being fearfully and wonderfully made. Make sure that heaven is your eternal home. Father, we praise you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you. Only you, Lord, how awesome you are that we can drink water. It can be put out on the lawns, evaporated up, put into a cloud, fly through it in an airplane. You condense it, bring it right back, make rivers out of it, snow-capped mountains. And if that wasn't enough, you created mankind with your moral likeness that we can reason, choose, love, be angry, worship, express. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, everybody, I got Pastor Jack in studio today. How you doing, Pastor Jack? Good to see you.
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How's Lisa? How the kids? Everybody all right?
Everybody's doing good. We're getting ready for summer, getting pretty excited about that.
Awesome.
It's going to be a summer that's wide open, I think, and we're going to have a great time.
Thank God.
Yes.
So, Pastor, I got to tell you, basically since COVID became a thing, right?
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that since our lives have been thrown for a loop here, a lot of discipline overall has gone out the window, especially
yep.
for, you know, like me personally, discipline's out the window.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Listen, disruptions, like, you know, vacation, even vacation disrupts your routine.
Yeah.
And these events that have happened in life have disrupted a lot of people, of course, if not all of us, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, I believe we're at a critical moment. We need to get back. All of us need to determine right now to get back to disciplines.
And thankfully, our book of the month is Disciplines of a Godly Man.
It's exactly right. This isn't really, I mean, it's an amazing book written by R. Kent Hughes, which is not only a great pastor, a great theologian, but a wonderful author. And Disciplines of a Godly Man, more than ever, you know, we hear the discussion about what is a man, what is masculinity. Mm-hmm. We've heard about this conjured up toxic masculinity, all this stuff. Well, this is a great book to introduce to our listeners. I think the biblical mandate to have a biblically based masculinity. This book goes through, for example, the disciplines of the mind. How much is that needed today?
Yeah.
The disciplines of prayer, the disciplines of worship, the disciplines of integrity. How about this? The disciplines of your tongue.
That's a big one, isn't it? The discipline of the tongue.
Oh, yeah. We've got to get back to disciplines. That's what's going to keep us stable for what's next. There's going to be something next.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that our feet are grounded, that we're standing on a good foundation, and that we've got some good disciplines in place to take on the next storm.
Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's available right there at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. Order your copy today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.